This week on the Fraternity Sorority Life podcast, Veronica Moore, past AFA president, joins us to reflect on her time as association president.
We gave our members, y'all volunteered, just a clean slate to say, here's what we want you to focus on. If you can just think about what's already existing with the association, what needs to be tweaked, what needs to change, what are some new opportunities that need to be developed, they did just that.
And to look ahead at the future of the association and fraternal industry.
And I think that once we get beyond the XYZ fraternity or XYZ sorority and think holistically like that, we'll be in a better position to make sure that the experience that the students go to will never be questioned.
Hello, and welcome to the Fraternity Sorority Life podcast and to a new year. I'm your host, Matt Deeg, and as we start the new year, I know folks are making resolutions for themselves in a variety of areas. Maybe you want to be more fit. Maybe this is your year to travel or try something new. Maybe you're going to do one of those 52 books in 52 weeks kind of things. Whatever it is, I love the opportunity as our calendar rolls over to make a shift in life. Thinking about this, what's your resolution for fraternity sorority life? For your office, for your organization, or for yourself? Is this the year where you re-examine your practices and eliminate the non-essentials? Perhaps this is the year you reach out to more professionals to get help in moving the needle on your campus. This is a really great time to think and make shifts in how we approach the work we do. I'd love to hear any resolutions you've made about fraternity sorority life, so tweet them out to hashtag FSLResolutions. And now, our guest for the week. I'm joined by Veronica Moore. Veronica has served as the AFA president for the past 2 years and just wrapped up 6 years serving on the Association of Fraternity Sorority Advisors board, with her term ending at the most recent annual meeting in Boston. In her day job, she recently made a transition from working with fraternities and sororities and other student groups at Temple University to serving the Delta Upsilon fraternity on an international level while sharing her talents to lead new cultural initiatives at the North American Interfraternity Conference. Here's our conversation.
Hey, Veronica, how are you?
I'm great, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Enjoying the calm before the storm. So, like everybody in the world, I think.
Indeed, that's very useful and needed as we start the new year.
Yeah, it's true. So, and I'm glad you're here with me to kick off the new year, do some reflection, and then look ahead into the world of fraternal future. So, I think, you know, no better person than our outgoing, our past president of the association.
Well, thanks for having me, Matt.
So, I think I want to, when I was thinking about just having you on, I wanted to talk, of course, about the broad view of fraternity and sorority life, but I also, you know, want to start kind of with your role as AFA president, things that you learned, things that you did. I don't know many people that really understand what the AFA president actually does. I think you're that person, right, that stands at the front and has the gavel and stuff, but, you know, on the day-to-day. So talk to me about your kind of role as president, things that you did, what surprised you.
That's a good question. A lot of people do wonder about the role of president. I know that before I was even in this role, I wondered as well. And the cool thing about my experience, while we're focusing on my role as president, I also think that it's important to understand my trajectory and how I got to that place. I was on the board for 6 years before, including president. So I saw a lot, including the growth of the association from an operational board to a board that's a little bit more governance or strategic in its thought. So I think what surprised me the most was how broad of a scope I would have in the things that my hands would be in, right? So,
yeah.
I've been included or was included in conversations around the organization's redevelopment stages, financial reworkings, program development, fundraising plans. And I think if there's one thing in particular that I can really draw in, what's most surprising was one of the most political aligning times of our industry, right?
Yeah.
So I had an opportunity to watch 5 AFA presidents before me. Each and every one of them had their own quote-unquote issue of the time to deal with. I wasn't shocked or surprised per se by that, but I was definitely anxiously awaiting and wondering what would be my issue and when would it arise. So I never thought that my presidency would experience such a shift because of some of the pending changes and the legislative matters. But I'm happy that I got to experience that. I realized that partnerships were not at the helm of our industry. And in order for us to get to a point where we were in a better space, we needed to do things very differently. And that was an eye-opening experience. And I know that there was a little turmoil in the industry overall. There were some people who were upset. There were some people who understood each side. But I think back to the meeting in Fort Worth where a lot of industry partners were able to come together and just talk about those differences and understand viewpoints and understand stances, that is when I think things truly shifted. And that is also when we experienced the shift in what's happening in the fraternal industry now. There was a lot happening at that time. And, again, I don't think any president knows what's going to be the issue that he or she will deal with, but that was mine, and I fully embraced it.
Yeah. No, I think you all navigated that really well. I'm remembering back to, all the stuff that happened, because you would have started right when the Rolling Stone article and all of that broke out, right?
That is when I was coming in as president, yes.
Right. So, that was beginning, and then we had all of the Safe and Fair Campus back and forth, and NIC 2.0 stuff. Yeah, there was just a whole bunch of things happening in our world, but just, I can only imagine.
I'm the type of person that's up for the challenge. So one of my top strengths is restorative. So I kind of enjoyed working through how to get to a better place.
Yeah, and having those conversations and kind of bringing people back together, which we definitely needed at that time. So, no, I think that's really cool. And were you having, conversations with all those different executives, like fraternity executives or the NIC and NPC, MPH, like all of our different council folks as AFA president, kind of not behind closed doors, but kind of in the background saying, hey, what are we doing? Does the board do that?
In the Fair and Safe Campus situation or just in general?
Just in general, yeah.
Oh, yes, most definitely. There are times where depending on the issue with each of those constituents, I was on the phone with them. There were many times when the board was brought together to discuss things that were happening in the industry, whether that be in person or via phone call. I think that there were plenty of times where we convened as a board, whether it be with the NIC, NPC, NPHC, and some of our other constituents as well. It just depends upon what it is that they were focusing on.
Right.
But I will say, in my 6 years of being on the board, the past 2 to 3 were times where we were very, very much so partners in discussing trends, things that needed to be worked on, and I really look forward to seeing where that lends the association.
Yeah. That's really cool. And I think that's, again, that's a hidden side of the board's working that people don't always, think about. I think, they don't think that we're talking and having all of these communications. And I think that's good for folks to know.
Yeah. And many times we're bringing the member concerns that either we know per our experience or what we hear about from our members that are concerning to them. We try to relay those messages. And I will say that, all parties have been very open to hearing the association's voice per need of the member.
Awesome. That's really good. And you mentioned, that one of your top strengths is restorative. And I think, a role like this where you're juggling various interests and different personalities and talking with a wide range of constituents, it was certainly probably a developmental opportunity. And so curious, major things you learned about yourself, you know, maybe how it shifted, how you approached your work and the interactions you have with either students or other staff members?
Yeah, I think I learned that my resilience is stronger than I may have thought. You know, you don't really know that you have the quality or the strength until you're in the thick of things and can reflect on it after all is said and done. Like I said before, I will not turn back the hands of time or regret anything that I went through as president, because I think that it really did teach me a lot, more so than I would have learned on any job that I've done professionally. So I'm really thankful for that. Also, rediscovered that my personal philosophy of leadership is truly centered around the qualities of servant leadership. The development and well-being of others is always at the forefront of my mind, and I think that if you speak to those who are close to me or have had an opportunity to work with me, they will tell you that I'm always concerned about the growth and development of other people. I'm always concerned about whether individuals are getting what it is that they need to grow.
Yeah.
And to be better professionals. And I've always thought that about myself, but really have been able to really laser in on that. When you're in a role as president, you're thinking about not only the association, but you're thinking about the members that the association services, if you are a member organization. It really is a very different shift in thinking about the day-to-day that you're doing in your job, and I'm always conscious of that.
Yeah, and it makes me, I mean, I can think for my own personal development, you know, any interaction where that I've had with you, you know, you've always been, you know, how are you doing? What do you need? How are you developing? Right. And, you know, as a kind of a young professional in the field, that meant a lot that, you know, you would take that time. And you know, I think you do that with everyone. And so I appreciate that. And I think all the folks who have had you as a mentor and friend or an encourager through the past couple of years really are very grateful for that. So, you know, for me, thank you for, you know, taking that care and having that attitude and approach to leadership.
Of course, someone did it for me. I'm really passionate about paying it forward. And young professionals and graduate students really have a soft spot in my heart for, you know, for them, because I had great people around me who did the same stuff.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I think that elevates or highlights your leadership philosophy, but did it shift kind of your day-to-day work too? I mean, you mentioned a little bit that, you know, the day-to-day focus is a little bit different for you, but how, you know, how did this role kind of change how you look at the general work that you do in fraternity sorority life?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it shifted drastically, my professional role to this volunteer role. I think if I could laser in, it would have to be centered around how I execute work. Mm-hmm. So program and planning and executing an initiative in that way is very different than strategic visioning and thinking about how to run an association, right? So
right. In
my role as Associate Director of Student Activities with Temple, I was very centered in on the experience that students would get immediately, right? We think about how it is that we're planning our year. How do we maintain momentum with our programming? How do we meet the needs of the students right then and there versus what are we doing as an association to make sure that the trajectory of our members is going to be seen as beneficial to them, right? What are they experiencing as new professionals in the field? What are they experiencing as they, you know, have an opportunity to go through any of our programming? So from new member to those who've experienced a couple of years, to those who are, you know, 10 to 12 to 20 years of experience, how are we making sure that we're relevant along the way? So I think that it's just very different in terms of immediate gratification that someone may experience versus this is going to take some time, some energy and effort from the association. But in addition to the association's effort, it also takes individual effort to see that growth and development. So I think, the execution is something that may be a little bit different. But overall, I think my approach to, you know, working in teams and bouncing ideas and strategy off of individuals that I work with is the same. Those are the types of things that really get me going. And I also like to empower those around me to to be involved in whatever experience it is that we have together. And I think those who I supervise will tell you that that autonomy and that empowerment is there. And I think that if you speak to those who I've worked with on the board, I really did try to make sure that they felt that the experience was also theirs. I'm not one that's centered around, I'm the president. This is my experience. That's not how I thrive in my work. I feed off the energy of others, and so I want to make sure that they also feel involved and invested in that experience as well.
Yeah. No, that's really awesome, that empowerment focus. And I like the kind of your comparison between, like, the, we'll call it the day-to-day student development work, that it's very, you know, it's a time shift, right, that our work with the association is totally not immediate. And I think, you know, as professionals, a lot of times we get very antsy because we know that, hey, we just plan out the year and we know that this is going to happen and this is what it looks like. And so an association moves more like a battleship than a sailboat. And it doesn't turn as easily as, you know, we might be able to pivot in our day-to-day work. And so, you know, having, yeah, being able to juggle both of those mindsets is really cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think that it shows the growth that the association has seen from an operationally driven board to one that thinks a little bit more strategic. Mm-hmm. And that's just the evolution of the organization, right? That's not to say that was a bad time or, you know, but I think that the evolution of where we are and where we need to go as an association and profession, AFA has seen that growth come right along with it, right?
Right.
And so I think that that's important to recognize and understand. So when we think about what talent and what skill set is needed on board members, we're thinking about those who can have that functionality, right, that level of expertise and operationally thinking. But we also need to make sure that we have those who are able to say, okay, we know where we need to be operationally. How do we strategize in order to get to that place? The operations are with the central office now. How does the board work cohesively with that unit to ensure that we're having the right conversation at the board table,
right,
to make sure that the staff has been able to execute and operationalize what it is that the board would like to see as a future direction, and also be able to think about what the members also need in their roles and in their toolkit to be better professionals.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting because, you know, I just, again, finished up first semester and, you know, grad school, one of the classes I took was on strategic human resource management. And it's really, you know, my professor researches kind of how small firms do their HR practices. And many of them don't really do much because, you know, they've got 5 employees and they really don't need to do a strategy or think about that. But I think, you know, we just celebrated 40 years and the association has grown. And so we had to make that transition from, you know, focusing on those day-to-day operations to really thinking strategically as a board. And I think it's really cool that we've decided to make that shift. And that's become the focus of the board. And we've got, you know, the functioning folks out at Synergos who are, you know, working on the day-to-day operations. And y'all at the board level kind of do the strategy stuff.
Yeah, we're only able to do that because our staff has grown, though. If it hadn't,
right,
we'd probably be in the same situation. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's was a good transition. Thinking about the stuff that we've been able to do, what have been some of the, like, major highlights of the past 2 years that you've seen kind of as president with the board? Accomplishments, things you're proud of?
I think going back and thinking about the new structure of the president now being 2 years, I think that's a major highlight. That we've been able to grow to. I think there's some consistency there, and we've been able to see how having a person in the position for 2 years can continue conversation and initiatives on the right track. So I think that that's one thing to note about the new shift of the president being 2 years.
Yeah.
In terms of my role and what I've experienced. I'm really proud of the work that we've been able to do in moving our strategic framework forward. So I was a part of the process of moving from a strategic plan to a strategic framework in order to enable the association to be a little bit more nimble in its practices of speaking and working from that plan. So I think that, you know, if you were at the business meeting at the association, at the annual meeting, you heard some of the updates, which I think is great. We were able to have more volunteers within the association and really pull from the expertise of our members. And I think that they really enjoyed that. I think that they felt invested in that experience and right. felt good about the fact that what they brought forth as recommendations for the board to consider, many of those things are being implemented in the next couple of years. So we gave our members, i.e. our volunteers, just a clean slate to say, here's what we want you to focus on. If you can just think about what's already existing with the association, what needs to be tweaked, what needs to change, what are some new opportunities that need to be developed. They did just that, and those things are going to be able to be resources for members. So I'm really excited about what to come from that. I'm also really proud of the work that we've been able to do with the foundation. This past annual meeting was the 40th anniversary, and I have to give a shout out to Ben Pendry and the foundation, their team. They by far exceeded their goal, and that was an exciting thing to see.
Oh, yeah.
The energy that was around that meeting, the energy that was around those foundation efforts, I've never seen that momentum with the foundation, and it was great. It was amazing. People felt invested. People were bought in, and I really hope that that momentum continues. We were able to have a wonderful joint meeting with the foundation while we were in Boston. I'm really stoked and excited about what's to come from the foundation and the association jointly. I don't know what that is because I'm not a part of those conversations, but I'll continue to be a cheerleader because I think that we were able to have a really beneficial joint meeting, the best that I've seen since I've been on the board. So I'm excited about that. So big ups to them.
Yeah. No, that's really, that's awesome.
Yeah. And lastly, I think that I'm just really proud of the work of the board when it came to making courageous decisions in many different areas that were in the best interest of the association sustainability. We were part of conversations, you know, I'll just say throughout the past 3 to 4 years, that the members might not be privy to, but, you know, you're trusting the board to work within the best interest of our needs as an industry and our needs as an association. I think that we did just that. And I think that all of the work that the board has done over the past 3 years is really, really in the best interest of the association maintaining its relevancy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with that last point, the real struggle for the board is just juggling all the different, you know, constituencies and their, you know, needs, because, right, you've got campus-based professionals, and then, you know, you also have the headquarters staff and, you know, the headquarters executives, and we all want fraternity to grow and develop and be better, but, you know, approaches might be different, so being able to juggle different stakeholder viewpoints, I think you all have managed that really well, and kind of navigated those waters with aplomb, to use a good GRE word, I guess. So, thinking about, you know, those are some of the really cool successes, but, you know, what are the things that you're like, man, I wish we could have done that, and hope the board continues to work towards this?
I wish we could have worked more so on our offerings for our headquarters members. I think that since I've been on the board, when I was on the board for those 6 consecutive years, we've always brought up the need of the organizational professionals and how are we meeting their needs. And I don't know that we have done due diligence of assuring that that need is met across the board. And so I wish that we could have had some time to think a little bit more strategically and ask questions to that constituent of our membership, get them more involved in creating resources or creating opportunities that they find helpful. And I think it's time that we think about that as an association. We have some talented people on campus and within our organization, and we need to be sure to tap into those talents. I also think that we could have tackled one of the projects that I've been in conversation on for quite a bit of time, and that's the redevelopment of the association's core competencies.
Oh, yeah.
But I am excited about the fact that, again, that was one of the areas that came out of the strategic framework work group, and we will have an opportunity to see that area explored in the coming year.
Very cool. I'm excited to see that, because that's going to be really neat to see how we update or revise those and see kind of the programmatic shifts that come from that. That's a really, that's going to be a fun initiative to watch.
I'm excited to see what comes from it as well.
Yeah. So one of the things that I get the joy of studying is really how people behave within organizations and how people interact in teams. And you've already kind of alluded to your leadership style of wanting to empower folks and kind of just give them the opportunity to do the things that they're good at, and not micromanage them. But, you know, I know that working on the board, you had all these different folks around you and you're working with them. And talk to me about kind of working with the board, how you maximize that opportunity. I think this is a good, you know, learning moment for our professionals who work with, you know, who have teams around them or who are trying to help their students work better with their officers. So, yeah, talk to me about working with the board and kind of how you maximize that opportunity and the folks around you.
Yeah, that is one of the areas I'm going to miss the most about volunteering for the association is working with the board. It's by far the highlight of my volunteer experience with ASA. The reality is that I could not have performed the duties of my role if it weren't for those who I served with. They made me a better person, better professional, a better leader, you name it. There were many times that I looked to them for guidance as president. I looked to them to take the lead on certain projects and for them to help me learn about certain instances and processes. I looked to them a lot for their expertise in certain areas that I was not strong in, but in the process of working with said individuals, learned a lot from, and just support and guidance overall. You know, I think that it's important to have a team around you that supports you and that is on the same page and really passionate about what it is that you're working on together. And I know that many presidents may say this, but I do believe that I had an opportunity to work with the best compilation of folks at the right time. I am better because they believed in me and they empowered me to lead this association at the time in which I did, and I'm grateful for them for that.
Yeah. No, and it seems like, you know, watching y'all interact up on the stage or in other ways that you all became really good friends too. It wasn't just, you know, we're on this board together, but it's we really like each other and we probably call each other and, you know, we would hang out even if it weren't for, you know, the board. And is that something that just kind of happened naturally and organically as y'all interacted?
I think so. I think, yes. I'll tell you stories about some interactions later on. But I think that, you know, when you spend time, like I said, you spend time with people who are passionate about what it is that you're passionate about, and they really want to see growth and development and the best for the association, some of those relationships happen organically. And, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't say sometimes, you know, we have hard conversations, and we gave our point of views, and we have some strong people who you know, gave their viewpoint strongly, myself being one of them.
Yeah.
But when you have an understanding about why it is that you're working so hard and the purpose of which you're working for, those those passionate areas that you're talking about when they are something that someone else is passionate about as well. You know, you grab a hold of that. You have conversations after, you know, the board meeting. Tell me a little bit more about that and your thinking. And, yeah, I agree on that as well. Or, no, I don't agree on that, and this is why. Or, you know what, might not agree with that, but I respect your process of how you got there. So for me, I think, my friendships have developed from working on the board with individuals over the past 6 years and a different level of respect for folks as well due to my interactions with them.
Yeah, no, I think that's really cool that you were able, that you all are able to kind of have those conversations and then continue the conversations outside and develop those relationships. I think, what is it in, there's a leadership thing. The controversy with civility is one of those things.
Yeah.
Transformational leadership, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It kicked me out of my program if I couldn't remember that. So just being able to continue to learn that and develop that is really cool. So one of the things that I'm really excited about is, you know, we're getting into 2017. Well, this episode actually will air starting in 2017. And we're looking ahead to the future too. You have passed the gavel off to Kara Miller, board member extraordinaire, previous guest on the podcast, talking about kind of the strategic planning that the board did. So that was really cool. What encouragement or challenges, or encouragement and challenges, do you have for the board and for our profession in the coming years?
Yeah, to the board, continue to focus on what matters. I think that that's been a real theme of my presidency, and I will always center in on that. And that's the development of our members, both campus-based professionals and headquarters professionals, at the core of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to ensure that is where we focus our attention. We need to be providing them with the skill development that is needed to make them stellar professionals. We can no longer be in the realm of professionals being mediocre in their work. We have too many challenges to address. We have students who are under our purview to make sure that they are experiencing development as a part of their involvement on campus and within organizations. So we need to make sure that we are at our best selves in order to ensure that the experience of the students is at the forefront for us. For the profession, we cannot maintain our relevance or cultivate growth without partnership, point blank, period. I've seen that in my 6 years of being on the board as a volunteer for the association, and it was not until the last 2 to 3 years of my volunteer role that I was able to see what real partnership can lend the association. We can achieve so much more together than we can alone. And that goes for every single constituent that we are involved in. Those are some words of encouragement and some challenges for the board and the profession.
Yeah, I appreciate that, the focus on developing the professional. And obviously part of the developing the professional is helping them to create those partnerships and foster those partnerships. And, you know, I look forward to kind of watching those things grow over the coming years as people talk more and more and really work together. I think, you know, NIC 2.0 and the work that they're doing to establish those campus partnerships is really, you know, one of the first steps that's happening with that. So that's really cool. What are some of the big things you kind of hope we tackle? I mean, I know we talked about, you know, creating those partnerships, but, you know, specific, like, areas that we still need to focus on. And some of these things, heck, they could become topics for future podcasts, too. So you're helping me out here a little bit.
So the first, and if you haven't touched base with Judd, I think that you should. But I think that we need to continue to tackle the relevancy of fraternities, the vision of fraternities. I'm not sure if many of the listeners had an opportunity to go to the special program, the NRC 2.0 update that was held in Boston. And I don't say that because I will be working on an initiative with the NRC in January and through the next year, 2017. But I really do think that it's an effort, right? Is it perfect? Might not be perfect, but no one else is stepping up to address the issues that are threatening our communities and our existence, and we need to be able to do that. So we need to tackle those behaviors that are going to be and have been a detriment to our existence as fraternities and sororities in general. We need to focus on the further development of men and women that extend beyond just their membership in their respective organizations. Get beyond the Greek letters that represent our organizations and think about the fact that we are men and women organizations. We have a duty to develop them as such, right? We have a duty to make sure that once they have maybe graduated, that they still feel a strong connection to the fact that they were a part of a wonderful men's organization focused on their development. They were a part of a wonderful women's organization that focused on their development. And I think that once we get beyond the XYZ fraternity or XYZ sorority and think holistically like that, we'll be in a better position to make sure that the experience that the students go to will never be questioned, will never be questioned in terms of is fraternity and sorority relevant. And I'm going to leave it at that, because I think that when we try to tackle too much, we get misguided and our focus is not where it needs to be.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, that second one, you know, looking and saying the holistic development, right, that's going to take on a variety of things. And that's the, you know, the strategic framework model versus kind of the strategic plan of we need to do this, 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 and this.
Right.
And so, you know, you're saying, hey, do things that get towards the development and of the men and the women within our organizations, that they can look back and remember those lessons learned, rather than here are the exact prescriptions. So I can appreciate that.
Yeah, and all of our organizations have what it is that they believe as their vision and mission, right? Can we think creatively about how we are able to enact that? Can we think beyond what's been scripted in the past and really, really get into the meat of it? I think Pi Beta Phi has an experience where they are not mentioning the affiliation that the women have at all with one of their leadership development opportunities, and it really is just focused on them as women.
Interesting.
And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I think that's awesome, yeah.
Well, Veronica, I want to thank you. I want to give you the opportunity to kind of finish up with a statement, thinking ahead, kind of a resolution for the association. Again, I know that you are one person, but I think you share, you know, my hope that we continue to grow and blossom as a group of professionals and as a group of students who have embraced on this thing we call fraternity and sorority. But finish this sentence. In 2 years, I hope the association is blank.
Right. In 2 years, I hope the association is experiencing growth in its offering of resources and tools for our members and the profession.
Awesome. And that is something I think we can all just get behind, the development for us, so we can then go out and develop others. So, Veronica, I want to thank you so much for jumping on and sharing your thoughts about presidency and time on the board and what we are doing now and what we can do in the future to make the experience better for professionals and for students and for everybody that we can come in contact with. So thank you for all the work that you've done, and thank you for sharing your thoughts with us.
Thank you for having me, Matt. I enjoyed this experience, and I wish you the best for future podcasts for 2017.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's our show for today. Happy 2017 to you all, and may your resolutions for yourself and for fraternity lead to positive joys. If you have thoughts or comments about the podcast, hit me up on Twitter, @MattDeeg, or leave a comment on iTunes or the blog. As always, stay curious.